Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Football Fans Podcast Euro 2016 special.
Trying to force that sort of persona, that personality, I'm always up and about. It just seems a bit fake to me sometimes. You just want everyone in the stadium, the media, to show that you're really into this, you're really working hard. And it has that sense of just looking like a busy fool.
I mean, Real Madrid have walked away, shows you that we are being taken for mugs. Simple as that. And I am livid at the thought of it.
Tells a lot about a manager if they can actually go out there and stake their judgment on a player that they don't spend loads of money and say, I can make him better and I can get him to play at the very top level.
Now, those that will be listening to us via the podcast, you should all now know that you can actually now see us. We have subscribed to our own YouTube channel. You can follow us and subscribe to our channel via Football Fans Podcast. Click on the link. You can now subscribe, get up to date with all the information that we'll be offering via Football Fans Podcast. Any comments, you know where to put the comments. You can see the guys. Everyone say hello.
Evening.
Everyone, hi. Yeah.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi, Mum.
Hi there.
Okay, you didn't say hi, Mum. Say hello, guys. My name is Jordan.
I'm the host
of. They're fine. No, honestly, they're good. They're good.
I just want to make sure that one's looking at me, Jordan.
Okay. I'm the host of the FFP. You can follow us on Twitter, FFP_11, and subscribe if you haven't already via the iTunes Library Football Fans Podcast. I'm joined to my far left by United supporter Zeke. Say hello, Zeke.
Hi there.
How well? You all doing?
Really well, really well. Post 2016.
Really, really well.
Yeah, man. It's summertime. You know, league is back in a month's time.
When
is it?
Start?
What, the summer?
Yeah.
Well, listen, don't get all technical here. Can't a man just be happy? No, very good, Jordan.
All right,
very
I got that. Okay, whatever. We're moving on.
You were too emphatic earlier. I'm really good.
You called it on.
I'm trying to kill my vibe.
Okay, I'm going to turn it down. All right, Ollie. Coming for me, yeah? Okay, I see you.
I'm joined by our Spurs supporter, Ollie. How are we doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm not really, really well. But I'm just good.
Content.
It's been a fantastic weekend of sport. So I'm happy, yeah.
You're
fantastic
happy,
weekend of sport. Serena won. Murray won. Portugal beat France. I was quite happy about that for some reason.
Hamilton, I don't know if you're an F1 fan, but
Hamilton won. I'm not a big F1 fan, but Hamilton winning is good.
It's all good. Good. I'm glad you're good. And I'm joined by another United fan. Marvin, how are we doing, sir?
I'm very well, thanks, Jordan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very, very well.
I noticed the other two didn't ask, so I thought it was only...
They didn't ask today.
No matters at all.
Not important.
The camera gets on them. It's all about them.
All right, guys. We're going to split today's show into... We're going to talk a little bit about the European Championships. We all obviously followed the final was yesterday. Then we're going to get on to more domestic matters after that. So let's kick off. We'll start with you, Zeke. The European Championships. Was it a success in your view?
Yeah, I think it was. I enjoyed it. I don't think it was a really, really good tournament, but no, I enjoyed it. I think I like the idea, or you know, there were stories there that we weren't expecting to see. You know, Wales get to the semi-finals, Iceland. I think for that sense, I remember it for that rather than, you know, great games. There weren't that many, in my opinion, but as a whole, I think it went really well. The final, bit of a anticlimax, the last four. But I don't think you could really ask for any more, really. I mean, as long as it... No. Given in the climate that we're in, there was a lot of fear of as to what could happen. There was no hint of that, really. So I think, generally, yeah, I thought it went really well.
Marvin, you didn't actually watch the final, did you? Or did you saw most of it?
Right? I actually fell asleep during extra time.
Okay, leads to my question. Was the final representative of the tournament as a whole?
Yeah, I think the final was representative, and I think the winners are representative, right? They barely won a game and managed to get to... They basically managed to win it. So, I mean, I hear what Zeke's saying about stories, but I think every major tournament has a story. Do you know what I mean? Greece winning it that time. South Korea got quite far when it was over there, wasn't it?
Yeah, semis, yeah.
I was underwhelmed overall. I expected some more from some of the teams. And I think the whole fact that you could draw a game, you could draw all of your games and qualify, it's just not what tournament football is about for me. Do you know what I mean, Jordan? It's about winning and losing, and I think there was more teams scared to lose than those who dared to win. But I guess for me, it's one of those things where I just love football, right? So the Prem was out. Finally, I'd stopped getting grey hairs due to Manchester United's abysmal performances. And it just, it filled the gap. You know what I mean?
Escapism.
Yeah. And I said, you know, I've got a month to do nothing. I'm going to have to like ask Zeke if he wants to go out for drinks and stuff. Like, I've got nothing to do for a month.
I declined each time, just for the record.
I've got nothing to do for a month. But I, you know, if you ask me what I'd give it out of 10, I'd give it a 5, 5.5. It wasn't amazing for me. And there were some big players, particularly in the England squad, who, you know, given us all this razzmatazz during qualifying, that just simply didn't show up. So, you know, people, and that's why people like Griezmann sort of stuck their head above the parapet. But for every Griezmann, there was a Harry Kane, for instance, who did nothing for me.
On Harry Kane, I'm going to turn to my Tottenham supporter.
I gave you a link,
Ollie.
There.
It was a nice link, thank you very much. Do you think, Ollie, that enough of the star players or the players we perceive to be stars going into the tournament stepped up?
Well, no, but then the level of football generally wasn't great. I mean, I just think that, you know, in your question about whether it's success, the tournament was a success. I mean, it depends on what you mean by a success, really, because the thing is that success for UEFA was the fact that they expanded the competition, there were more teams, there were more rounds, more money was made, France were good hosts. That's all successful. So from that angle, it's a success. But if you actually look at it in terms of the football, then no, it wasn't a success because, you know, there weren't enough of the top players who really turned up, to answer your question. But more to the point, which really disappointed me was that where were all the strikers? There's just no strikers in this tournament. It was kind of, you know, funny enough, England failed abysmally, but they were a team who had strikers. They just couldn't get them to score. But all the other teams, when you look at Germany, right, in the end, Germany actually went out because they didn't have anyone to replace Gomez. If they had a striker, they might have beaten France. They didn't have a striker. Are you really telling me that Gomez, and this is a guy who'd been out of the Germany squad for quite some time, you're really saying that Gomez is the only striker in Germany? Because once he went, they were back to playing the false nine with Müller up front or, you know, Gertz or whatever. You look at all the other teams as well. Italy were relying on Pella. You know, he's just gone to China. Spain had Morata up front. Didn't really work.
Still playing, isn't he?
Yeah. You know? Portugal didn't have a striker. Portugal never have a striker. Never, ever, ever have a striker. And all the time I remember, even when they had that golden generation in the early 2000s, never had a striker. So all of these top nations, none of them got a striker. And I think that's really, that's quite depressing that all the elite top nations in Europe, there are so few that have a proper striker, and the ones that do have strikers didn't perform. Lewandowski didn't really do it.
Ibrahimovic.
None of the England players did it. Ibrahimovic didn't do it. So yeah, it's been disappointing. It's been really disappointing, and none of the players that you were hoping would really, you know, set the tournament alight have done anything. So I'm with Marvin. Really, it's a 5 out of 10.
Okay, Marvin, did anybody step up for you? Was anybody that you thought, he shone, he did really, really well, star or not?
I mean, I like Sanchez for Portugal, right? I mean, he wasn't amazing, but he's a young talent. And you know what I loved about him? He's very strong. I know, like, commentators say that about,
he's a modern player, isn't he?
He's a proper modern
player.
And, you know, it's one of the... I know we'll come on to value later, but I think Bayern's got a good deal there. I think it was about 30 mil. Is that euros? I think it's 30 million euros. Yeah, so I think he impressed me. Obviously, Griezmann, I've watched him a lot for Atletico, and I think he's just one of those people that gave me what I expected, whereas others just didn't do that. So I think he did quite well, and I can't remember, is it Guillermo, the fullback for Portugal?
Excellent.
He was really, really impressive. I liked him.
Guerrero.
Yeah. And there was another guy. I think he's a Belgian, the right back.
Kimmich.
No, not Kimmich. Sorry. For is it Is it, I think he played for Germany.
If you don't know, don't force
Is it Munir? Munir.
No, that was the one who got done by Robson Carney.
Yeah, yeah,
for the
yeah,
goal.
Yeah, 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 for Belgium. I thought he was all right.
You can't talk him up. No, I
thought he was all
right. Oh, him.
that aside.
Listen, a few people got done by Robson Carney. And I think the Portugal keeper was good as well. I thought he was quite solid. I haven't seen so much of him. I didn't think there was anyone in England other than my boy Rashford who did about 5 minutes of wondrous play. I actually think back on Ollie's point, there were more people that I've named a few, but there was more people that disappointed than Sean for me. And I think Muller was one particularly that hurt me because had him in like fantasy teams. I put a couple of quid on him as top scorer. And he was terrible. Oh, actually, I think Draxler did quite well as well. I thought he played quite well. But there was just so many people. I mean, like, and I know we'll come on to value later, but everybody, even myself, you know, Ibrahimovic, oh, what a signing. You know what I mean? And I thought, no, that's a 35-year-old man. Do you know what I mean? That's a 35-year-old man. Now, he might come to the Prem and surprise me, but... He underwhelmed me, and he's got the ego and the arrogance, and he'll probably get me 10 goals, but he didn't you know crown himself in glory for me. But you know what, as a team, I thought Italy impressed me as a unit. You know what I mean? As a cohesive unit, I think they performed quite well. Overall. I've never fallen asleep during a final in my whole life. You know what I mean? I said to my missus, just wake me up for pens, because I love pens, especially when you haven't got a vested interest in either side, like take it or leave it. To see somebody just cry and stuff, I love that. And I missed it earlier, but I didn't see until the final Ronaldo when Portugal were doing their pens, and he had to really rally them, and he was like, come and take a pen, it's in God's hands. And like Moutinho and Nani were like, oh, okay. And I loved it because they didn't want it, but it's like, the final crowned it. I didn't even get pens. I didn't even get some heartbreak with pens.
The final was poor.
It was just like was one. So and Edda, like, he was at, was he at Swansea?
He was on loan, I think, in France at Nice from January to May. But yeah, from Swansea. I mean, yeah, when he's scoring the winner.
Such a rubbish player scoring the winner. It says
but,
it all.
But, as Henri made the point last night, it was interesting that Portugal bought a forward on, a proper forward, and he won in the game. Yeah. Now, you know, irrespective of whether he's a good player or not, I did actually think that when he came on, he held the ball up well, and he brought people into play, and Portugal looked a better unit going forward and counter-attacking than they had done previously when they just had Nani playing through the middle.
Yeah.
They didn't look like they had any cutting edge at all, and then he came on and started causing problems. So that's what you get when you play a striker. That's the difference. And I just think that was a major, major failing of this European Championships, that too many teams are playing without a striker.
Yeah. But you know,
and even France, you know, without Benzema, I'm sorry, but I don't know, you put up with Giroud on a weekly basis.
Yeah, Giroud was all right. I thought he was
okay. So slow.
He's so slow.
The two times I watched him in the semi-final and last night, where he had opportunities at the big wide open space in front of him, and you were just looking and thinking, are you really that slow? Yeah,
there was one time when he tried a burst of pace and the commentator just took the mick out of him. He's like, oh, that's the fastest I've ever seen Giroud run. And it was a minor sprint. Wow. Yeah.
You know what? I see what you guys are saying in regards to,
Do you?
We don't.
Okay, love's a bit extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very extreme. But for me, yes, it wasn't the, you know, star-studded tournament that we are used to, right? But I kind of like that. It wasn't as predictable. Ronaldo scoring X amount of goals.
I agree.
You know, it was more team play. And the team that I favoured from the get-off was Italy, because everyone was just expecting them to be just pretty rubbish. Yeah. But the way they set up and the way they played meant that they can go as far as they could. And I was actually wanting them to win it.
Yeah.
And just the idea that it's not so much one man turning up and doing something special and taking his team through, it was a case of 11 guys versus 11 guys.
I agree.
I liked Croatia. I was disappointed when Portugal knocked Croatia out, because I liked them.
They were looking good, weren't they?
But I don't... I don't know, Zeke, if I agree, because I mean, Portugal qualified from that group with three draws. That well, would not
they
happen.
Got, they got the job done.
Yeah, I mean, it got the job.
I do not
job.
Like the fact that we're in the final.
Zeke,
think about
Zeke. Think about who was in Portugal's group, right? We're talking, what? Was it Austria, Hungary and...
Iceland.
Yeah.
Three draws. Yeah. And
yeah,
I just, I get your point
about...
point
on which they needed to get it done.
Yeah, fair dues. They got it done. But yeah, like you're saying, you know, we didn't have those marquee players like Sergio. I love that. Remember when Ronaldo was, when the real Ronaldo was tearing it up?
What do you mean the real Ronaldo?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, as much as I love Cristiano.
There's only one Ronaldo.
There's
on,
only one fat Ronaldo.
But sorry to cut you there. On Zeke's point about teamwork, I agree. I think we did see ultimately a decent team come through. But more so than that, I think off the back of what we saw with Leicester and what we saw with almost Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
No, let me finish. And to a degree, more so than with team spirit, I think the most important thing I took from the Euros is if you have a plan and execute that plan, you will succeed.
Yeah, but Jordan,
that's just a shy England.
That's true. The mirror of that.
Yeah, but what was Portugal's plan?
Their plan was...
Hold on. Let's not forget, right, that during the group stage, that first game they played, when Iceland basically did what Portugal did throughout the knockouts, they didn't like it. And then Ronaldo came out after the game and said, well, they just parked the bus.
They just
didn't want to come out and play. And yet, in the end, that's how Portugal won the tournament. I don't really understand that. If it was like Portugal saying, well, fair enough, they played that way. But they came out and they were, you know, they were screwing because Iceland had shut them out and stopped them playing.
Well, maybe the manager was cute enough to recognise that and think, right, well, as much as we didn't like the way Iceland played, maybe we should play like that. And then from there on in, they weren't pretty to watch, but they clearly just thought, we've got one superstar player, and Nani, that can nick us a goal out of nothing. But the rest of you guys, just keep it tight, keep it solid, keep it quite dour, just stay in the game. And while you're in the game, you know with Ronaldo, you've got a chance to nick a goal. And that's what I took from their run to the final. They weren't good to watch, but from what I saw, they appear to have a plan. Off the back, as you say, that first game where they were Becks.
Well, it was the first group. You know, it's not just that first game. Let's be honest. The last game of the group stage is a 3-3 against Hungary. They had to come back from a goal down three times. Mm. So, obviously, they've looked at it in the knockout stage and thought, well, you know, if we're going to get anywhere, we're going to have to shut up shop, really. Mm. So, it was a clear strategy change from being in the group stage where they thought, well, we're the best team in this group. We're just gonna burn all of these things.
So, Ollie,
and then suddenly it was like in the knockout, well, don't fancy Croatia. Actually, let's just shut up shop and hope we can nick a goal. I don't see that as a plan. I see that as, well, let's just try and get as far as we can and hope that we... And the other thing is, what I sense is that they took advantage of where they were. And this was the other thing that disappointed me when you ask about whether it was a success or not. The other major thing that I felt affected the whole championship was the fact that so many top nations were in the bottom half of the draw in the knockout stage. And then you had all of these teams, and all of them must have thought, hold on a minute, if we can get a run together, we're in the final here, because, you know, there was no one in the top half of the draw. Unless you were seriously thinking, well, Wales are a top nation all of a sudden, and I never bought into that at all. So you're looking into, you know, Wales, you know, fairy tale and all the rest of it, but still, a limited side, right? You're looking at Belgium, got good individual players, but we all know they're beatable, yeah? Portugal must have looked at it and thought, if we can get past Croatia, we can go all the way here. How are we going to do that? We're going to do that by just being really boring and just playing the percentages and doing what we have to do to get to the final. I don't believe for a moment that they were like, well, we've got a plan here and we're going to work it out. It was just cold, hard facts. Look at this half of the draw. We can actually do this. And any half-decent team with a couple of players would have looked at that top half of the draw and thought to themselves, we can go all the way, because there was no one in it.
On,
if you can get through Croatia, they had a clear run to the final. Mm.
But that is a plan, isn't it?
Well, it might not be a sexy plan.
But at the end of the day, they decided this is what we're going to do.
It is a plan if you can execute it. Of course, it's a plan of sorts, you know, because... Listen,
If England had won their group like they should have done,
they would have had a run.
They would have had a run, but they wouldn't have been able to execute that plan. No, we all know that, right? England would have got in that half of the draw and they would have beaten Northern Ireland. But the minute they come against Portugal, or Belgium, they would have been out. Mm, you know, England would have been out. So you've got to be able to execute the plan, and I accept that. But what I'm saying is they actually went from this is our plan in the group stage. We're gonna just play our game, and we're gonna do well. Got into the knockouts, and I think they just basically decided they were gonna. I don't think it was worked out. I think it was
pre-tournament.
Just
okay. We're just gonna
play the percentages and get ourselves through the groups through the knockout stage.
Zeke, I was watching a lot of the games for the tournament and just thinking to myself, I would love it if England could host a Euros or a World Cup at some point. Probably ain't ever going to happen. Just because I just know every game would be rocking. There were a lot of dead games, I thought, in terms of the crowd and the atmosphere and the vibe from the supporters. What role do you feel the fans played in this European Championships, in the stadiums and out the stadiums, in terms of adding to it?
I think that's hard to tell from our position of actually being there. Mm. I think we are relying on broadcasters to give us the atmosphere to show us what's happening. For me, the sense I got from the tournament was that the fans played a really big part in terms of like the Iceland fans with the that scary clap, man. That freaked me out the first time I heard that, you know. But that I've never seen that before. That was great. And then also, there was a lot of I don't want to paint fans as how the media do in terms of the English fans, but a lot of the other nations, it was very much more family orientated. There were females face painted, and the images I get about the fans, I thought, oh, that looks like a nice day out, you know what I mean. So obviously outside of the stadiums there were a few incidents, cases with violence and whatnot, but
there were a lot of families.
I didn't get the sense that it was a dead environment. I wasn't there, so I don't know, but my instincts is to say that it brought a lot of people together that may not love football, but it was an occasion to go and support the country. And especially with a lot of the smaller nations, like Iceland had never been to a tournament before. The Welsh fans, show their support. The Irish fans, I just love those guys. Always smiling.
Yeah, I love the Irish as well.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So the images I have of the fans are actually quite positive.
Okay, it's also quite ironic, I thought, that Michel Platini, who was the man instrumental in changing the format of the competition, making there more teams in there, it was his nation that ended up suffering, because Portugal, who got into the final via coming third, ended up beating the final. Refereeing, how do you guys feel, Marvin? Do you feel that the games were refereed well generally? Do you feel there was any decisions that were consistently poor, or do you feel it was officiated quite well as a general tournament?
No, I think overall it was. I don't think there was lots of decisions where we were like, "Oh, that's terrible." Do you know what I mean? So I think overall it was refereed well. I think they were quite. The only thing I didn't like, and it's nothing to do with the refereeing, was I thought they were too harsh in terms of when they wiped the yellows. I think they wiped the yellows at the quarters as opposed to the last 16. So some people like Ramsey missed out on playing in the semis, etc. But I also I didn't. Like Joe Allen against, who was it? Wales were playing, well, I think it was Portugal. And I think Joe Allen should have been sent off. He had a lot of yellows.
Was it the 91st minute?
The ref felt sorry for
him. Yeah, and they were, I think that by this time they were two.
You're a hard man,
it was late, wasn't it?
No,
really,
oh, you know
it was
what?
Over.
All I
the
want,
game was over.
All I want is consistency, right? The guy should have been sent off. Wait, but even he probably did about three bookables before that bookable where you could just tell it was pity. But overall, aside from that, I think it was well officiated. I mean, you know how I feel about Clattenburg. I'm not a big fan. And, Marky, credit to him, he got the final, etc. But it's just the way he goes about his job. I can tell he will probably release a calendar next year. Do you know what I mean? In the yellow kit, in the black kit.
In the green kit.
Yeah, you can see it. And again, I can't remember who did it, but... I think they almost put too much onus on it when they were talking about, they went to Howard Webb a couple of times. I think it might have been ITV or someone. What do you think about that decision? Oh, yeah, it's all right. I don't care.
Yeah, I think they
I
try
don't
and
care.
Make
I'm going to make my decision.
Yeah.
And that's it, really. So overall, it was good. But I think it's always... the best way to judge officiating is when there's not much to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what that tournament pretty much
exactly.
did.
All right. Exactly. Ollie, Antoine Griezmann and Ronaldo, are they the two front runners for the Ballon d'Or? Bear in mind, Griezmann's now won. He got Golden Boot and yeah. Best Player at the awards.
Yeah,
got to a boot. Final, got to a Champions League final, and was quite instrumental in that. I think they came third in La Liga, and they were in the title race until about three or four games.
Easy.
I wasn't overly impressed with Griezmann. He was okay. He scored some goals. He scored some good goals, but he's still. No, not really. I mean, he was terrible last night. Absolutely terrible. And I actually thought that the goal actually came from him. You know, some real powder puff play from him, from a throw-in. And him just trying, like, juggling the ball and losing it. And then Portugal sort of broke from there. I mean, Portugal's winner actually was a really bad goal for France to concede on a number of levels. Griezmann messing around with the ball. Koscielny getting roughed up by Eder. And, you know, dare I say it, but I thought Lloris should have done better. I thought he could have got a hand to it. I mean, everyone, Shearer was like, oh, well, what a shot. And, you know, it was unsavable. Was it? I just looked at it. I thought he scuffed it. I thought he looked like he scuffed it. And I do accept that as the ball got close to Lloris, it sort of jumped up in the air. It bounced quite quickly and went up a bit. But even so, I think a keeper at that level, I'm thinking you've got to get a hand to that, really. So I'm looking, you know, Griezmann, he was okay. But I just thought there were some games where he got a bit lucky with the way things went. I mean, I thought in the semi-final, going back to refereeing, I still can't see how that was a penalty, to be honest with you. I don't see what...
Germany game.
Yeah, I just don't see...
I thought it was a bit harsh.
When did it hit his arm? I don't see where it hit his arm. I'm not a little bit harsh. Yeah, but when? When his arm went out there? Yeah. It didn't hit his arm.
It did.
I didn't see his arm.
It did, yeah.
I mean, I just didn't... Personally, I don't see that as a penalty. Mm. And I would like... You know, if you're talking about officiating, I would like referees to clarify once and for all, what are we giving penalties for now? Because remember when we had this big debate during the season, when you remember the Southampton Leicester game where Mane goes through
on the line, and
Mane
Williams,
goes through, and what's the left back called? I can't remember Leicester's left back. Fuchs, right back. So Simpson basically hand. Now, if we're saying that Schweinsteiger's is a penalty, then that was a penalty. That's a penalty because his arm hits the ball and stops it going in the goal. And no one can tell me that it wasn't his arm. It was his arm. His arm went out to the ball and he stopped it. Now, if you're going to give a penalty for what we saw against Germany, which basically changed that game. That game was a really close game. Germany were much the better side. And from that moment on, it was over. But basically, France had something to hang on to. And Germany, the pattern of the second half was set from there on in. And I just felt that, you know, that was really, really, unless you're absolutely dead sure that that is a penalty, you can't give that. And I just don't think he could have given that. I think it was a really bad, bad, bad decision.
Okay.
And, you know, but I just, you know, in terms of Griezmann and all the rest
He wasn't impressed.
I thought he got, you know, he got that penalty and everyone said, oh, he's fantastic. Germany overplayed for the second goal and then he took advantage of it. It was terrible defending by Germany. But generally, I don't know what people look for in a player. I look for in a player someone who dictates games, someone who actually kind of really, you know, not someone who just gets on the end of stuff. And Griezmann, he's great at getting on the end of things. He got on the end of a few really good moves and scored goals at really important times for Germany, for France, sorry. But did he dictate any games? Was there any game where I watched when I was like, God, Griezmann, it's like everything's going for him. He's the man. No. So for me, I don't look at that and say, yeah, he scored six goals. I don't mean, oh, right, he's got to be up for the World Footballer of the Year. No, I'm not having it, John.
Well, I'm just thinking when the Ballon d'Or list comes out, who are the contenders, Zeke?
I think it'll be the same group, really. You know, Messi, Neymar, Ronaldo.
Suarez.
I think Griezmann does deserve to be there based on his performance at this tournament. He should be mentioned.
Well, I'm judging his performance based on the last 12 months.
Well, Ballon d'Or, they don't do that.
No,
I honestly, I'm not a big fan of the Ballon d'Or in the sense that I just don't really rate their rating system. Mm. But if you are going to pick for someone or pick someone as the best candidate for it, it has to be Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. Because you mentioned Griezmann's achievements, Champions League final, bested by Ronaldo. Mm. You know, the European Championships.
I think Real just pipped Atletico to second, didn't they, in the league? Yeah. So you got the better of him in the league.
Yeah, and that as well.
In the Euro final, yeah. Euro
like
final,
a typical Arsenal Ronaldo. Fan, though. So got the better of him. They both lost.
If it's between the two, Ronaldo has to take it. But over the course of a season, yeah, no, he's played really well. But... you know, we can't really predict a Ballon d'Or. It's going to be the same guys, and I think the most popular choice will win it, and that will be Ronaldo.
For real, okay. So is it?
I'd give it to Jamie Vardy.
Hey, is it? Is it Jamie Vardy? Is it Ronaldo, Marvin? And if so, we had a debate a few weeks ago on the pod about Messi and whether he needed to win a major tournament of his country to be classed as the greatest. Do you feel that now Ronaldo, having won a tournament with his country, has now overtaken Messi in that debate, or do you feel that he's still it's still neck and neck?
I mean, I don't know. I think I'm just a different type of person. Like, for me, it comes to just who's the better footballer all round.
Well said.
Right. So, and you know, I'm a big Cristiano Ronaldo fan. Credit to him for winning the Euros, you know, putting Portugal on the map, what have you. But you look at the two types, their attitude on the field. And there's just a level of petulance and, you know, people can call it desire or passion, but I honestly don't feel Ronaldo is a team player. Mm. And you've seen that sometimes. I think I remember there was a goal when he took a shot. It got blocked. Bell scored for the winner and he just like gave a nonchalant arm and stuff like that. And Zeke, I know what you're saying. Like, this guy is it's about Ronaldo, but the petulance aside, I just think Messi is a better footballer. If you said to me, I think Ronaldo's got some great attributes in terms of in the air, etc. But if you said to me, Marv, who do you want in your 11? I think I'd always pick Messi. And I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, it's always been difficult for me, and I think other people might agree with me when we talk about the greatest, because you people mention the Maradonas and the Pelés of this world, and I just wasn't around. Do you know what I mean? I saw maybe the end of Maradona, but I wasn't around. So I can only judge it on what we see now. And some of the things and goals I've seen both players score are outstanding, but Messi just pips it for me based on the way he contributes to a team overall. When you see goals for Messi, you also see assists. I don't think you see that much for Ronaldo.
This is the Football Fans Podcast. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter, FFP_11. Subscribe via the iTunes library and also subscribe via the YouTube channel. Right, that's Euros aside now. Let's get now back to domestic matters.
Hold on, George, has the YouTube channel always been there?
No.
I thought I wasn't doing my due diligence for a second. No. I couldn't see myself on YouTube.
No. It's not always been there.
It's new people. It's subscribe new. Now.
It's out there. Subscribe. Let's get now back to domestic matters, gentlemen. I want to talk about the managers. There's a lot of heavyweight managers come to the Premier League this season. I'll start with you on this one, Marvin. Do you feel this is now maybe the era in the Premier League for the superstar manager, whereby we'll be seeing more managers on back pages than players?
I mean, I don't know if I'd call it the superstar manager per se, but I would...
charismatic manager.
I'll totally agree that there isn't one Prem fan that isn't excited to see just as much, just see a couple of shots of the touchline as they are of the pitch. Do you know what I mean? And I think for me, the excitement heightened when I saw... I knew Conte was animated and involved, but when I watched him, he was pretty much kicking every ball.
Literally.
And if there was a player, a misplaced player on Italy, if they misplaced a pass on Italy's team, you know they weren't looking at that touchline. And he was looking bang at... He's going to be a character that I think is going to surprise a lot of people with just how much he gets involved. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he does. I mean, Jose's Jose, right? Anybody that thinks any different just doesn't know what they're talking about. His press conference is the only press conference I've ever looked up on YouTube, got myself a snack and watched. I've never done that. Unless somebody's told me you got to watch minute 4 of a particular I wanted to see what he had to say. And maybe it's just because I'm a Man United fan and people had seen it live and I hadn't. But I wanted to see that. Same with Pep. I mean, you can see the way Sky Sports are covering it, right? They're saying, you know, tune in for this press conference, that press conference,
notifications and everything.
You know, it's it. You know, they're seeing where the fans want to be, and they're making sure they're getting the coverage. So I think we're definitely going to see a nice mix of, you know, footballing exploits as well as a manager's reaction. And there are just too many good managers in the Prem. Somebody is going to fall upon hard times, and it's about how they react to it, etc. So I'm really excited.
Okay. Ollie, Pochettino, Bilic, Wenger, Koeman, forget even the big two in Manchester, Klopp. There's some big characters and there's a lot of charisma coming out of a lot of these managers in the Premier League. I know you're a man that likes to kind of just focus on the pitch and keep it football. Do you feel that maybe having so many guys that are going to dominate things off the pitch is bad for the league?
Bad in what way?
Well, it just detract. It will and can detract from the actual football, what's happening on the pitch. And the media might make such a big thing of what Pep's doing, what Klopp's doing.
From the Premier League, it's great, isn't it? You know, they're selling a product. So, you know, if you've got Mourinho, Guardiola, Klopp, you know, these are all passionate guys, yeah? You've got Wenger, you've got Pochettino, you've got all these guys in the game. You've got Ranieri, who everyone's forgetting about very quickly, right? How can that be bad? It can't be bad, can it? It's going to be great for the Premier League. I mean, you know, personally, as a fan, it will get boring. You know, it's going to be... It's not going to be any different from what we've seen before. You know, Mourinho's going to get Guardiola, and he's going to get a Wenger, and then he's going to get any manager that he feels like he needs to... You know, well, any manager that he feels he needs to poke a bit just to kind of... Because he feels that he can get that little edge, he'll do it. So we know that's coming. We've seen it before. So what's different? It's not going to be any different. Conte is going to be different. I agree with that because he's not someone we've seen before. And what's interesting about him
is that it's not so much the fact that we'd be different from people like Mourinho. We know what we're getting with him. But there's a lot more managers
now. All in the melting pot now.
Yeah, there's more.
No, absolutely. But, you know, but at the end of the day, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be about the football. And it's going to be about whether these people, you know, they can get their teams to play. And essentially, that's the most important thing, isn't it? But, you know, for Sky and for Sky Sports News, brilliant. They're just going to be focusing on the manager and whatever. Me personally, I find all of that kind of... I think I'm going to make a conscious effort over the course of the season not to get too wound up and not to get too involved in that. Because I actually am interested to see what Conte does with his team, how he sets his team out, whether he'll kind of... You know, I don't think he'll go over 3-5-2, but... I'd be interested to see how he sets his team out. I'd be interested to see what Mourinho does with his team. I'd be interested to see what Guardiola does as well. That's what I'm interested in. I'm really not that interested in the Mourinho said this. You know, Guardiola as response has been that. I'm not interested in that. I just find all that kind of, that's just... It's, you know, it's just kind of extra stuff that bores. It just bores me. You know what I mean? I'm not interested. Oh. That's for Sky. Let Sky do all that stuff. But personally, I'm not interested.
Zeke, how important do you feel it is as a football fan seeing managers on the touchline, beating their chests, shouting at their players, cursing at referees, G-ing up the fans? How important do you feel it is? Is it for you as a fan, knowing that your manager or any manager is that charismatic and that physical on the touchlines? Or do you feel you can be just as effective if you do the whole Sanchez Flores method, Pellegrini, the ones that aren't on the touchline, don't get involved in all the histrionics, but can execute their plan still to a degree?
It has to be a visceral reaction for me, in a sense that it depends on the game and it depends on the heat of the game. It depends on the situation.
There's a time and place for kind of getting off your seat.
Exactly.
And it
naturally, it should come naturally. If you're the manager of a club and you're and it's the 89th minute and you need a goal to go through to the next stage, you should be up on the touchline because that's you trying to get your players over to the next, you know, just to push them a little bit extra, to get them to dig a little bit deeper. So you can't do that sitting down. Or if you're 3-0 up and it's the 89th minute, I don't really want to see you on the touchline. You need to maintain the calm so that your players can see you've got this, give them the confidence. Trying to force that sort of persona, that personality, I'm always up and about,
it just seems a bit fake to me sometimes. You just want everyone in the stadium, the media, to show that you're really into this, you're really working hard, and it has that sense of just looking like a busy fool, in a sense that you're making a lot of noise. Is it really needed? But I just feel that should come naturally to a manager that is really deep in the game, right? So I don't necessarily need it, but I would want to see it sometimes, if the game called for it.
So bearing in mind, Mourinho is your manager, there's a time and a place to kind of him to be the Mourinho, be still on the sidelines, staring people out, calling out referees.
Exactly.
And a time and place, just sit down and shut your mouth.
Exactly that. And I think Mourinho, you know what you get with Mourinho. I think everything he does is calculated. Quite frankly, if he is overly being, exuberant, then I think that's just him trying to affect his opposition, in a sense that we're here, I'm here. But in terms, just to kind of not answer the question you asked previously, I'm 100% behind what Ollie has said, in the sense that that whole manager versus manager thing, like, so what? If it's anything more than what we are already used to and seeing, then I would be embarrassed for the league, because truly it shouldn't be too much about the managers. And I honestly think this season probably Mourinho and Klopp are going to be the biggest characters. Maybe they would clash because they've been here before, and Klopp has had a year to kind of acclimatize to his team and the surroundings, so he has a bit of confidence. If Conte and Pep come in guns blazing, then it's just going to look a bit silly.
I mean, I disagree with the two gentlemen. You know, I love it all. Right, I love
just,
it all.
You just love the friction and the beef.
Yeah, I love it. Like, do you remember that time when Wenger got sent off at Old Trafford, and then he just stood on top of the thing? I loved it all. When
theatre of it.
When Pearson choked out, was it MacArthur? Nah. And then Pardew was from a distance going, "Oh, what was that all about?" And 2 weeks earlier, he wanted to take.
But those headlines aren't football. That's not football, though, is it?
Mate, it's all the package.
That's within a game, and that's.
Oh, you're okay with that.
I'm fine with that.
Oh, okay,
that's fine.
That's
fine. I'm not interested in the. Oh, Mourinho said this, and then the Sky person said, they ring up the reporter at the next press conference and say, "Oh, Mourinho, we just asked him a question about Wenger, and this is what he said. So ask Wenger about that, will you?" So Wenger gets asked. Jose Mourinho's just said, "What do you say about that?" And it's just like, oh, please.
But you know what?
Just leave it.
Zeke was talking about
it's so boring.
Zeke was talking about the way people behave on the touchline, but I think there's a place for being a bit fake, right? Because you and I both know, we've sat there. We've watched LVG, right? The guy didn't get off his seat,
example.
Right? He did not get off his seat. And I wanted...
So even if it's not natural, just at least be seen.
I am a fan and I am passionate and I am annoyed. We are losing to Norwich at home. Get off of your seat and you rally the troops. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But do not sit there when I'm standing. You get up and you say something. I don't want it. So I want... Listen, I don't care if he wants to sit down and be comfy. Yeah, Fergie stopped doing it because he replaced a hip or a couple of hips. Fair enough. As far as I know, LVG is fully intact, right? You need to show me that you care as much as I do. And you can... I cannot see you if I'm at the ground and you're sitting. Show me something. I don't care.
I think, unfortunately, last season, there was more occasions whereby we needed him to stand up and actually tell us to pull our fingers out of our there's no place for being fake. If you don't mean it, then I don't care if you're standing
up. As a fan, do you not want to at least
I want my team to be playing well.
What will be interesting actually is to see how much Mourinho has been told by Man United, "Listen, you got to tone that business down, we're not having that," you know what I mean? Because it's quite clear that, you know, the likes of Bobby Charlton and whatever, they're not having that sort of stuff. This is Man United now. He can do that sort of stuff at Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I hope Gabe's watching this. Gabe, I'm watching because Chelsea. We all know Chelsea are just a poor club. You know what I mean? They've just got no class whatsoever. So he can get away with that sort of stuff.
100% agree.
And you know, so he can do what he likes. Man United club where he's going to be expected to behave himself to a degree, right?
Yeah.
Ferguson didn't always behave himself, but he kept it in check to a degree. And I just wonder how far he's going to be allowed to go by Man United without him saying, "Listen, Jose, leave all that."
You know what? I 100% agree with Ollie, because actually, Although I had my snacks and watched the press conference.
What snacks were these?
I had some Doritos, but I bought the Doritos dip as well. The red one.
You were prepared.
It was delicious.
The cheapest one.
Listen, it's not about cost. It's only about what you enjoy. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? But one of the things I will say is it annoyed me that Jose was picking fights already. Like, I just thought to myself, you popped
did
a-
he?
I think he did. He was asked about... You know, is this a chance for you to redeem yourself in a way? I think Martin Samuels asked that question. Yeah. And he was like, well, listen, obviously last year was difficult, but I won the title a year before. There are managers in the league that haven't won anything.
Fact.
Right? Agree. But the question was about him, Zeke, and he should have said, my record speaks for itself. I think the fact that he was already picking fights.
His default was to go to Colombia.
You already know where his mind's at. I mean, I didn't mind him popping a shot at LVG because I think he said something like, listen, I'm here to win. Mm. And other people were talking about, gradual and that. That I can take because LVG's gone and I 100% agree with everything he said. And to an extent, I agree with Wenger. Like, Wenger's, I can't believe this guy's still ticking over. But I just thought, Jose, just bide your time. These arguments are going to come. Right now, just tell me you got everything under control. And I like the fact you told me how many signings you're going to have. Your boy, the PR lady, and she. I loved all that. That's fine. You're talking about Man United. There is nobody else in this conversation right now. If you said to me, the only thing I want to do is make Manchester United great again, that's all I want to hear.
We've had
years
of that.
I know.
On the next pod, we're going to talk a bit more in depth about that kind of axis between the three managers in the Northwest, because I think that'll be interesting. Klopp, Pep and Mourinho. But good chat. Okay, let's go.
Koeman.
Who? No. Koeman will be good, but I don't think he'll be in that title. He got me in there. All right.
You wanted Koeman, didn't you?
I did, but I wasn't going
to. Gary Monk.
So let's move on now to
anybody but Wenger.
Kelly to move over
to where Alan Shearer next, aren't you? Yeah.
So let's move.
It's
on.
Weird.
It's limits.
We talked about managers and how it's going to be box office. We didn't even mention Wenger. We don't give a shit about Wenger.
We mentioned Wenger
as the butt of other people's jokes.
The same old story. Anyway, let's move on, guys, to a topic that I'm quite interested in. There's been a lot of money being spent already. A lot of transfers have been made across the Premier League. Pre and during the Euros, I think every club now is pretty much in the Premier League made at least one signing. But I want to know, and I'll start with Ollie on this one. Do you feel, from what you've seen across the board in terms of the deals that have been done, are you seeing value for money? And if you're not, is it important if you just get the guy that you need?
I think that over the piece, it depends because, we got a long way to go with this, haven't we? We've got a couple of months and really everyone's kept their powder dry to a certain extent. We haven't seen half of it yet, so it's hard to say at this point in time. I mean, if Man United buy Pogba for £100 million, then no, that is not value. And that will taint everything, the fact that United have signed him for £100 million. Pogba is a decent player, but he's not worth that kind of money. I just think it'd be a crazy signing. I think it'd be crazy to spend that kind of money. But the other signings they've made, I think they look like typical Jose signings. He's gone out there, he's looked at players. I haven't seen much of him myself, but it's a Jose type thing, And I think he's gone out there and he's done a couple of good things. Ibrahimovic is a player he knows. Be interesting to see where that leaves the other forwards they got at the club. But yeah, they've done some good signings. I'm not so sure about Pep and these kind of signing players when they're injured still. I'm not convinced about that. And for a lot of money as well. But, in terms of your question about value, as a Spurs fan, of course value is important. And I always think that value, it tells a lot about a manager if they can actually go out there and stake their judgment on a player that they don't spend loads of money and say, I can make him better and I can get him to play at the very top level. And that for me has always been the core of what a good manager is about. You go out there, you find a player and you kind of, you nurture him, you coach him, you get him better. That was what Wenger was good at once upon a time. But it's not
that doesn't seem to be the way a lot of the time now. It's like, what are you laughing at?
Long time.
You popped a show bigger, and I agree. But it's just
true.
I'm not laughing at you. This is 100% with you.
They were waiting for me to win, and I didn't. So they just broke down.
Who was the last guy?
I was listening to these fools.
It's a reflex, isn't it? You want to talk about a shit manager, you talk about
a valid point. I just want to look
at it. I can't say he's a shit manager, but he doesn't do what he does. He doesn't do what he used to do best. Now he's signing players for big money and they can't get... But anyway, the point is, value is important, and I still think that is... You know, I'm really pleased, for instance, that Spurs didn't go out and spend 35 million or whatever it was on Batshuayi, because I just don't think that's just crazy money. I think if they turn around and say, well, no, we're not going to go for him because he's too much money, and they end up getting Janssen for half that money, then that's great. I think that's great, and that's the way they should go I'm quite happy with that.
Well, this is the addition to the question. Does it matter if you spend over the odds? If A, you have the money to spend the money that the club is projecting, and B, you need that player.
Well,
so if that player, you need a left back, you know you need that left back. The club saying we want 30 mil, you value him at 18 mil. If you've got the 30 mil, do you think he's not he's more than what I would spend on him, but I need him, get it done? Or is that no, you get value for your players?
I think you should still try and get value, because I think it's got to the point
for your money,
I think I've got to the point with the Premier League where the rest of Europe, on a lot of issues now, on a lot of issues now, post Brexit, are looking at England and thinking, you stupid people, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, it's like, that's what, you know, and that's the same thing. If Pogba goes for £100 million, it's like, they've seen us coming. You know what I mean? I just don't think that English clubs, just because there's all this money in the Prem now, just because there's this new TV deal, doesn't mean we should be throwing that money into Europe and saying, yeah, we'll give you whatever you want for these players. It's just madness. You know, look at the players. If he's not worth the money, any good club, right, Jordan, you say, oh yeah, if he's the player you want. Any good club shouldn't have one target. It should be, we want him. If we can't get him, we get him. If we can't get him, we get the next. Mm. You know what I mean? That's what a good club does.
Zeke, just lift out a few names of some signings that have been made. Ibra on a free, 230K a week, I'm hearing. Pogba potentially 100 mil. Mkhitaryan 22 mil from that deal was signed. Xhaka to Arsenal 30 mil. Mane to Liverpool 34 mil. Ayib, I think it's going to go through as a £15 million deal. Mendy to Leicester 10 mil. Lewis Cook from Leeds to Bournemouth 6 million. Wanyama to Spurs 12 million. Batshuayi 32 million. There's some deals there. There's some ones that I personally think are good. Some value for money in some of those signings, less so in other ones.
Yeah.
Do you think it's important to still get value for money, or do you just think you're Man United, you need to get back to winning ways this season?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it means you have to pay over the odds to do that, are you comfortable with that?
I am.
So let's use Pogba as an example.
Yeah.
If Pogba takes you to the next level, would you be comfortable spending 100 mil on him?
The answer is yes. Right. And there's a reason. I'll explain my answers. I think in terms of value, the argument about value in general, I think there's only a few players in the world, the likes of Messi, Ronaldo, Suarez and Neymar, that value can be sort of ignored, right? I think any other player, you do not need that particular player. I think there would be more players of better value in the market for you. Definitely. So I think you should always try and get the best value, unless it's this high echelon of players that are just city. Pay what you need to pay to get them, right? But I don't think you can give that.
You just named earlier on.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. But then saying that, a club like Manchester United, right? It's not football in terms alone for us, and not. When I speak about this, it's not a popular opinion, but when you break it down, the reason why we are willing to pay 100 million for the likes of Pogba, who is not worth anywhere near that amount, but for us as a commercial vehicle, right, it's about the reach, about the hype, about the clicks, about the tweets. It's just that noise that it creates for us.
The business.
Exactly. And all of that noise around the fact we're going to spend £100 million on Pogba, who could be the next best thing.
That justifies
it for us. So that
makes it. How much did you sell Pogba for?
Wasn't it 100 grand?
Okay, let's not get petty here.
You sold him for that.
It's about today, okay? Stop living in the past.
No, no, no,
it's about today.
That's the core of the problem. The core of the problem is, right, you've given him away to Juve, and then you're going to tell me that it's going
to
make sense.
You do not need to try and convince me how stupid it is.
On this guy to get him back.
Trust me. It's not, you don't, trust me, we're on the same page there. But end of the day, today.
If we're on the same page, then you're contradicting what you just said.
No, but today, right now,
you can't take that out of the mix. You can't take that context out of it.
Go on, Z,
okay.
You can't take that out of it.
I'm not saying
the context is he was your player, and you let him go.
I'm not saying Pogba for 100 million is value for money. That's
not
what I'm
saying. That, but so you're saying that as a club that Man United are, they need to be doing those sort of deals.
No. The reason why they are doing those sort of deals is because it's not just for footballing reasons. Right.
Fine.
What is the biggest deal this summer? People are talking about.
Well, that is, isn't it?
Exactly. So, Man United, we sell our brand on the reach, our audience. So, as long as we're on the frontier of the biggest signing in the summer, we're earning off of that. And this is the only reason, the only logic I can explain why we are willing to pay £100 million for a player we let go for free.
So, that's the club's point of view, and I understand that. As a fan, if this guy wins you the league, do you forget 100 mil? Having just said he's nowhere near 100
million
pounds.
You don't forget. You can never forget 100 million pounds. If he wins us the Champions League,
he's got to win you the Champions
exactly.
League.
Exactly. Like if he wins us everything, right? I'm still thinking that's why we paid 100 million. You'd never forget it. He has to, essentially.
But I just don't think.
My overriding point is value is still important for me. You have to pay what a player is worth. Worth is such a frigging grey area right now, you don't really know. But let's not kid ourselves and think that Ed Woodward is doing deals based on footballing reasons alone.
No, I understand that.
So that's why.
But you've not answered my latter point. Do you get the. Sorry, I'll come to you in a second more. Do you get the player? If you need him, you spend that extra 20, 30, 40 million pound if you know you need that guy.
Okay, but outside of the top five,
yeah,
right, I don't think there's any other player where you need to say, I need to pay 20, 30 million extra to get him.
So as a fan,
particular.
You're not comfortable spending 100 million on Pogba because he's not part of that top five?
Footballing reasons alone? No, he's not worth 100 million.
Hang on.
I know you want to come to Marvin, but the point is, right, I understand all this stuff about it's about the clicks, it's about this. What about the soul of your club? The soul of your club was, right?
Don't get emotional now because you
under
don't.
Ferguson, okay. Under Ferguson, right? The whole thing was, you know, you had this youth policy and you bought players as well, right? But the thing was, at the very core of Man United was we bring through players, right? That's what we do here. We bring through players, but we buy top players to complement that, right? Now it's just become, we need to just keep buying until we get back to the top because we've been.
Yeah,
is that it?
Yes, that's where we are now.
I'm sorry,
honestly,
but that's just
that whole rhetoric about just, the fact that we were youth.
You've lost your soul then because it's essentially,
football has lost.
I don't think so.
It's a global game now.
I think there was 15 years back. No. I think there was.
Let me get a turn.
Today, right now, under Ferguson.
Hang on. Go on, Marvin.
Ferguson was buying.
Hang on. I want to bring Marvin in now.
For me, George, it's complete lunacy. I am livid. I am livid that we are even having the 100 million Pogba conversation. And I said it to you, Jord. Fair enough, the European Championships is a tournament, right? But for 100 million, you need to be lighting that tournament up. You need to be showing the world why you are worth this. And I think, and Zeke, let me finish. I think the thing,
Marvin, even at 100 mil, even if he lights tournament up, is he still worth 100 million?
No, he's not.
The price tag is moot. But the thing is,
Zeke keeps talking about this commercial thing, right? And I've taken much pleasure in, especially idiots like Gabe. Sorry, Gabe.
Gabe, I've got your back.
Gabe, I'm not sorry. But when we talk about, a lot of times we've talked about people like Roman coming in and, you know, the Sheikh Mansour coming in and splashing the cash to get people there. And I've always taken pride in the fact that United have the best, one of the best commercial vehicles in football, where they can generate the money through revenue without having that big investor. Because let's face it, the Glazers are just leeching off us. They're not pumping money into it, right? But I don't care. Because I honestly think if Pogba doesn't come, we'll still sell shirts. Do you know what I mean? I don't think he's going to spike the shirt sales to the fact where it's going to cover 100 million when I think he's probably worth 40 million at a push. And when I look at players like, or teams like Bayern, who's managed to get Sanchez, who I thought 30 million for a youngster, that's expensive. But you think to yourself, that youngster's probably played better than Pogba for less than a third of the price. And based on the European Championships, they'll probably sell shirts on that guy now, right? I am, and it's not even just deals that have gone through. Some of the mentions, like Troy Deeney, 25 million. Are you out of your mind?
It went to 30, I think.
I can't. Vardy, 25 million. I just saw that Newcastle have come out and said, you want Sissoko, you got to pay us 35 million. This is absolute lunacy. I can't believe it. And the fact that, you know what, there isn't, I haven't met one United fan who can look me in the eye and tell me, yeah, you'll get excited because you want names. Because it was interesting what Ali said about Mkhitaryan and Bali and Ibrahimovic. Because I still think we haven't signed a name yet, right? And the reason why we haven't signed a name yet, I liked what Jose said when he said we signed the player of the year from France being Zlat and the player of the year in Germany being Mkhitaryan, right? Mkhitaryan had 3 years at Dortmund, and the second season he was anonymous. So for me, that's still a question mark. That's still a question mark, right? I love Zlat. I love everything about him. Even the fact that he said that his wife has Zlat as a husband so she doesn't need a present. I love that stuff. But he is going to be 35, right? And I think Mourinho and I think the United people sat down and thought, you know what, we're going to have to come out here with a marquee, because I don't think any of those players are marquee as things stand. But to pay 100 million for Pogba, if that deal goes through, I am going to be his biggest critic. And that is because it is too much money.
Jose or Popper?
Pogba, right? And you know what? And I honestly think, as Zeke said, you know, if he wins us the league and blah, blah, blah. But, George, I think the risk is just as great, because people like you and Ollie, just the same way people have done with Memphis Depay, if that deal goes south or if we have a big injury, that's £100 million of kitty invested into one human being. One human being that wasn't in the top five that Zeke referenced, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't, and you know what? I think if we wanted to buy Suarez, Messi, or Neymar, I'd you know, if you said 100 million, I would still be annoyed. So the fact that we're talking about Pogba, the Italian league, which has been a dead league for years, right? There's no denying it. I just think the fact that Real Madrid have walked away shows you that we are being taken for mugs. Simple as that. And I am livid at the thought of it.
So if this, sorry to cut you there. So if this deal does go through, Marvin, is it getting to the point now where, because you won't be the only team, I'm sure, that will spend, I'm sure City will go big, Chelsea will go big.
Yeah.
Is it getting to the point now where teams might as well just start downscaling their scouting system, downscaling their coaching system? Because if you're going to just think, oh, he's the new shiny thing in Germany, he's the new shiny thing in Spain, we'll just throw 60 million at it rather than scouting and coaching. Because you've got Herrera. What happened to coaching and improving Herrera, who I would say could do the job that Pogba's going to do?
Well, no, I don't think Herrera can do what Pogba
I don't think he's
do.
Good as Pogba, but I think with a bit of coaching, he could save players. You. Well, I'm not sure it's that different.
The thing about it is, right, I mean, it was interesting when you talk about coaching, because obviously Mourinho bought his 49 players that he has graduated from the youth squad. I think that was the only bit of the press conference that let him down, other than the Wenger slate.
It would be nice if he'd named some of them.
Well, I saw the link. It was terrible. Like, you know, yeah, one of them was, I think one of them worked as a baker in Slovenia. One of them played one game, went to MLS, and then took up
claiming Solanke
coaching
at Chelsea and
yeah,
rocked his
cheek. I wouldn't, you know, it's one of those things. Oh, you work with what you have, right? If you haven't got a lot, you say nothing, right? And you know what? It's funny, and I know I shouldn't do these stupid acronyms and stuff or metaphors, but I bought a chest of drawers from IKEA, right? And it cost me £250, which is expensive. I opened the box. There was like 25 million pieces of wood and 35 million screws, and I thought I'd pay £250 for this. And as I was screwing and drilling, I saw Pogba 100 million and I looked at it and thought, that's better value. I thought, you know what? These chest of drawers are going to do what I paid for, guaranteed. They will hold my socks, right?
I'm not sure that Pogba. Pogba's going to guarantee that for me, right? So I just think it's too big a risk, and I still think there's so much value. Like, you look at Real Madrid, right? I think Cruz and Modric are gettable for a fraction of that price.
But I think
Sanchez was gettable. There are other midfielders we could go and get who we know have a better pedigree. People like Mod have done it in the league. Fair enough, he's getting on a bit. But I just think it's too expensive.
He wouldn't leave Real Madrid, though, would he now?
I think if he throws 60 million, he will.
The thing is, though, I just look at Real Madrid when they do this kind of thing, right? When they did it with Bale. And it's all come out now in the last few days, this whole business about how the government or whatever
subsidizing his cut.
So they can do all this sort of stuff. Yeah. They can buy Bale for 85 million, right? And then they can do some deal with the government that gets them out of trouble.
Yeah.
And they can find Arsene Wenger and spend 42 million on Ozil and say, right, we'll recoup that money. Within two deals, they recoup their money for Bale. And it was like, it's all right. We've just completed. But Man United, I'm looking, you're spending, that's dead money. That's dead money. You're not, £100 million you're going to spend on Pogba, right? You're not going to, how are you going to recoup that? I know that Man United have got all this money. But you can't just keep spending like that.
Do you think Ollie maybe kind of referring to what Zeke was saying earlier on? Is it just maybe a bit of a muscle flexing exercise for United?
It definitely
is.
We need to be seeing that.
We're City, but we're Man United.
But this is the question. This is the question I wanted to ask Marvin. Are you concerned? I asked Zeke a minute ago, and he doesn't seem concerned about it. But are you concerned that the soul of your club, you're now being seen as that club, whereas under Ferguson, you had a thing of. He made it very... It was a central part of what Man United was about. We bring through players here and then we buy other players to complement, you know, buy players in. Now it's just... We're just buying players. We're just buying. We don't care. We're just buying players. And we don't care what the cost is. We'll buy players and we'll spend a lot of money on them. Does that not concern you? Do you think just because Man United generate all this money that it's all right you just buy people no matter what?
I think, you know what, Owen, you know I don't like sitting on the fence, but it's a bit of both, right? Because when you've had three dire years, you can no longer wait for that class of, you know, that class to graduate. It's just too much pressure.
Sorry, Marv, I'm not expecting you to do that.
No, but in answer to your question, the soul of United went as soon as Fergie walked out of the door. Right,
different times now, and
we are now.
But can't you make like sensible signings?
It's too late. Oh, because you can smell the desperation. There is blood in the water. We are hemorrhaging. Right? You can't.
That's real. That's real. Right?
If I'm Juve, that's our situation. If I'm Juve, I'm looking at United. Right? They're on their third manager in what 4 years? Yeah. Right? No Champions League. Right? If it's Fergie, do you think they're going to sit there and go, for Pogba, you got to break the record? I gave you that product. You give it back to me at an increase, but not at that increase. And they would talk.
Yeah.
It's over. The only way we heal ourselves is when we start being successful again. And Ed Woodward's plan is, we got to splash the cash madly. My point is, we can splash the cash more sensibly. And there's nothing wrong with walking away for a deal that's too rich. It sends out
like
a message.
Like Real Madrid have.
It sends a message to say, look, there is blood in the water, but we're willing to just bleed a little bit, then sell our souls here. And I think, you know, and again, I hate to do it, and I've actually made a deal with one of my other Man United friends to say I'm not going to slate Ed Woodward for the whole season. But when I talk about the fact that we are looking at the fact that we're not in the Champions League and it's been three dire years, I think the other thing that pushes up the price is that these directors of football and these big European clubs are looking at Ed, right? And they're thinking, what a mug. He ain't got a flipping clue. He knows how to sell shirts, but he hasn't got a Scooby-Doo how to make signings.
Last point, Z. Go on, Z. You want to get in there? You've forgotten your point.
Yeah, so, no.
He's forgotten it. Move on.
Can I just ask
I haven't forgotten my point. We're going to come back to the point when it's done. I've got to move on.
No pressure, Z. Make it come. Is there a question for me?
No. Okay. Question for all of you. How much is Pogba worth to you?
That's not a question.
No. How much is it worth?
I wouldn't sign him.
How much?
What would you value him at?
What's your value? 40.
40.
Yeah, same.
40.
I'm not even sure that. After what I've seen in the European Championship.
So as Marvin has said,
That extra 60 million is the cost of our failure over the last three years.
Okay, yeah? I get it.
That's what Man United
don't. Yeah, but you haven't guaranteed that he's going to remedy that failure.
Let's discuss Pogba when you do the dumb deal. So let's just
let's hope we don't.
Yeah, but what if they don't? That's the thing. What if
that'll be even worse?
Yeah, that's right. My point is, what if Pogba? This is the point I'm making. What if Pogba, after all this, right? United go and they show their hand, say we're willing to pay this. Pogba says, you know what? I want to stay at Juve. That is gonna you talk about blood in the water. You are gonna look massive mugs.
Cool.
Let's come with that. Damned if you do, damned if you
don't. Well, no, you can walk away like Real Madrid have.
Guys, last point I want to get into. I want to talk about Rooney now. Final point. I want to ask. Start with.
Can't believe you're hurrying us up so we can talk about him. He's busted.
It's appearing, Zeke, that Mooney's not going anywhere this summer. That's what it appears like. But would he not be better advised, bearing in mind what he's seen from Rashford and Martial over the Euros and end of the season? Ibrahimovic has come in and he ain't going to be on the bench, I'm assuming. Would he not be best for, you know what, I can't fit in this team. Get me a move out of here. While I'm still relatively sellable, is it not better for him now to move on?
You know what? I guess I'm quite a pragmatic thinker in the sense that Rooney, if he was a smart footballing man, he would look for a move.
Mm.
But Rooney, why would he move?
Well, he could probably get, if he got a move to China, he could double his wages, which is big already.
But wherever he goes is a step down. It's a step down. So I don't think he will move. And I would like him to move on.
Mm.
He's been a good servant. And I really don't feel he has a starting place in United right now.
Mm.
But he won't move. There's not. I don't really
think. I'm annoyed at you, you know.
Why?
Because
he won't.
No, it's not. Everything you've just said, I agree with. But we've had arguments about Rooney not going to England, and you were kissing Rooney's ass,
oh,
right?
Okay. Now, hold on.
Talk about Man United, right? And England.
Two separate teams. I get that. I get what you're trying to say. But for me, I sat when we were messaging about Rooney. I sat there thinking, I don't even know Zeke anymore. I don't know him.
This guy's overreacting.
No.
Without bringing
the
point of the argument into play, right? Everybody was saying Rooney has no business being on a plane for England, right?
And I argued against that. I did not want. At no point did I say this guy should be a starter for England. But I said he has a place on that plane, right? So if we're talking about Manchester United,
see, we were talking about whether Wilshere should start or Rooney should start.
I think you said that he should start. Based on there's nobody better.
Well, we have evidence because we can go through the chat history.
anyway, Marvin,
and I'll show you.
Anyway, so Marvin, where does Rooney fit in this season? Because Jose's come out and said that he's not going to be a midfielder. He's going to be a striker.
I like that again by Jose. Another tick for the press conference because he people asked him questions where he could have sat on the fence and been like these ridiculous politicians.
But as a United fan, aren't you thinking that's all well and good and decisive, Jose? But where?
No, but the thing about Jose, he could never say Rooney hasn't got a place right now. That would send shockwaves. He's the captain right now, right? So I think he towed the party line quite well because essentially the message I got, and maybe I'm wrong, he was saying, if Rooney doesn't want to play up front and he can't do a job, then there is nowhere else for him in this starting 11. Yeah? It's not a six. He gave us numbers. He told us.
Not even an eight.
If he's not going to be... I actually think he was almost challenging Rooney to say, look, I'm going to put you as a 10 or...
And score goals.
Yeah, but then he's out. But I mean, if you want my personal opinion, the writing's been on the wall for ages with Rooney. I think he holds us back and then he's a bit like Game of Thrones. He'll have one good episode one day and then everyone forgets all the crap that he's done before, right? But the bottom line for me is, George, it's 300 G's a week, right? He's not worth. I would struggle to pay him 100 G's, right? And for me, this whole thing that annoys me about, you know, he's the captain. You know what? The armband can change swiftly. It's not a problem, right? I think if actually one of the best things Jose could do is shake Rooney's hand and say, look, I'm moving in a different direction. You got two choices. Either you're comfortable sitting on the bench, or we'll help you get whatever move, whether it be China or wherever you want to go. But for me, if United truly want to start a new era, it has to be without Wayne Rooney, right? Now, I'm not denying that Jose might change the game where he got everyone working to a level where
Rooney can thrive in the team. That might happen, but based on what I've seen, I mean, against Iceland, and I know it's England, but he was like tripping on the ball and stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You've answered whether Jose should move him on, but Rooney, what does he do?
If you were him, would you just think, look, after the Euros, I bombed. I didn't have a good Euros, didn't have a good season. I've had a good run at United here.
And you're collecting $300K a week.
Yeah, I'm still sellable. I'm not old.
But you know what?
Let me just move on now.
For me, Zeke, it's just a sense of pride, right? It's where you net out on that. And the best example for that, for me, was James Milner, right? City said, look, we want to keep you. We'll keep your wages, but you're never gonna be my go-to guy. And he said, you know what? Liverpool are a club that is still big. I want to play my football to the end. And I think if the opportunity for Wayne Rooney to go somewhere else,
Everton,
and still do it, I think that would do his legacy more credit.
But he's a bit dumb though, isn't he?
He is very dumb. But I think that would do his legacy more credit than if he stayed and then it got a bit
sour.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit sour now.
It is.
You know what I mean?
On that note, final point, Ollie. What do you think is left for Rooney to achieve at United now? Bearing in mind, there is a bit of a sour taste around Wayne Rooney in terms of how he performed last season, how he performed with England. It seems to be coming to an end. Why would he stay? Because he doesn't appear to have that drive now to really turn people's mind that he can still be the guy that they need him to be.
Mourinho likes him, doesn't he? He's always liked
him. 2 seasons
ago. And it's not about liking him, being able to get the best out of him are two different things, surely.
I liked Fanta Fruit Twist a while ago.
But I still think that he might look at it and think there's no definite person at the moment who is ready to take that. That's a big responsibility, being United's front man. Right, Rooney, whatever we might think about him, he's been there and he's done it. Yeah, I know he's not the player he once was, but it's a big responsibility. Mourinho isn't going to suddenly say, "Yeah, Rashford, you're my man from next season," is he? I'm not sure he's going to do it with Martial either. So I'm not saying Rooney will play every week, but I think he might look at it and think, Rooney can help me for this one season just while I'm bedding in, and then after that he's done. You know what I mean? And I think that's what he'll do. I don't think he'll just come rushing in and say, Rooney, get out the door. I think he'll just think, you know, I'll just keep him there for now.
Yeah, I'll
and
try just, if it doesn't work out.
I'll keep him there for now. Yeah, but enough. So as the season progresses, he might be someone that I just use less and less.
But from Rooney's point of view, do you think he can get the same offers now than maybe in 12 months' time?
No, Rooney's not going to leave Man United because, as Marvin said, he's on free 300 G a week. It's like, why is he going to leave? He's not going to leave, is he? He's going to hang on there and he's going to see it through and then he'll see what comes up. But he ain't going to go anywhere. You know, but I can very much see what you just said, that there'll be an emotional return to Everton somewhere down the line. You know what I mean? Because Everton will take him, won't they? And they've got money. It'd be kind of...
Coleman's too sensible,
way.
I think.
Huh?
I think Coleman's too sensible.
You won't take
probably,
him.
Yeah, no, probably. You probably wouldn't want him because it'd be too much, too big.
And the China thing annoys me as well.
If Koeman's got any sense, he will look at it and think, I'm trying to build a young, hungry team here. Last thing he'd want is Rooney in there. Yeah. If he's got Barkley, he's got Stones, no matter how much you might think they're, you know, how good they are or whatever, but he's got these young players, he's got a base there, hasn't he? Why would you want Rooney to come in and upset that?
Yeah.
But all I'd say is with Rooney, I think that he'll hang in there at Man United. He's not going to walk away, is he? And I don't see there's going to be that many great offers for him that he's going to think, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave now.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you very much for your contribution on this week's FFP. Can you wave to the camera, guys? Because the very first one that everyone actually gets to put a face to the voice. So either camera.
Gabe, you're a loser,
thank you,
yeah?
Thank you very much. Oh, love
Natasha, where are you?
Come on, guys.
We think you're hiding, Natasha.
Don't forget, once again, to subscribe via the YouTube channel. Also, follow us on Twitter, FFP_11. And share and tell all your friends about Football Fans Podcast. You can find us via the iTunes library. Until next week, peace. Boom.